Welcome to Shalom Ottawa. You are dialed into the show that keeps you in the know about the personalities and events across Ottawa's Jewish community, as well as with our extended family in Israel. My name is Les Combe, and as your host, I've got some fresh conversation for your head and your heart, stories you won't hear anywhere else. So keep your eyes on the road or your hands wrapped around a good cup of coffee. Sit back, relax, and join me in welcoming today's special guest, Yala.
All right. Well, welcome everyone back to this month's episode of Shalom Ottawa. And you know, Pesach is coming. Passover is almost here. And I hope you all have the cleaning underway and that you've sold the chametz or you know how you're going to sell it. You've got the three different varieties of matzah ready to go. It's a great holiday. And you know what? For this episode, we're going to start in Israel. That's where the story started, in Egypt to Israel. So let's start in Israel for this month's episode. And I'm really, really excited to welcome our very first guest, Rabbi Dr. David Kalir. Rabbi Dr. Kalir is an educator in Israel, and his specialty is philosophy and the Talmud. Rabbi Dr. Kalir teaches at Tel Chai College in northern Israel. Actually, it's about to become a university. Maybe that has officially happened as well. And at other schools around the northern part of Israel. Rabbi Dr. Kalir, welcome. Welcome to Shalom Ottawa. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
I'm pleased to be with you.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting. Yes, you teach in Israel, you know Talmud, you know philosophy, but you also spent 4 years in Toronto. Some years ago, you taught at the Associated Hebrew Schools of Toronto. And as part of that, you made trips to Ottawa. What, you were here 4 or 5 times? Something like that.
We spent the annual trip every single year from 1993 to 1997. Our annual trip was the Toronto Hebrew Schools of Toronto, the Hebrew Schools. We associated the Hebrew Schools of Toronto. We went to Ottawa for 3 days every single year, and it was a pleasure. I had good memories.
That's great to hear. We hope you got to see the tulips and all the nice things, the canal, all the nice things we have here in Ottawa. So we know you have children. You have 6 children. You have many grandchildren. And of course, Pesach is a family-oriented holiday. So it's just great to speak with you. You know, the story itself of Passover is an amazing story. I mean, they've made movies about it, Exodus, etc. Our people who were slaves in Egypt, they become free. They leave Egypt and settle permanently in Israel. But, you know, I'm curious because we mentioned this already throughout the year. Every Shabbat during the Kiddush, we mention, we highlight the Exodus from Egypt. Even every day we mention it in the daily prayers at Shul. So tell us, Rabbi Dr. Kalir, why do we need a special holiday to talk about it yet again?
It's a great question because actually we do mention the idea of being of having the Exodus from Egypt every single day during the Kriyat Shema. And we do that through the Kiddush during holidays and Shabbat. So what's the idea of having a special day? The idea is that there is a great difference between mentioning or remembering or telling the story. During a regular day, we will only remember, maximum we will mention the fact that we got out of Egypt. But during the Passover holiday, we will tell the story to our children and to our great grandchildren. And the mitzvah, the commandment, is to tell the story and to pass the tradition from generation to generation, and doing that by questioning, having questions and answers. This question that you asked me is quite correct, because we do mention that every single day. Moreover, during Leil HaSeder, during the day of the Seder, we will not only speak about the past. We should feel that we just got out of Egypt. Chayav Adam Lirot Et Asmo, a person has to feel, to show himself, or maybe to feel that he just went out of Egypt. Everything is like an adventure. During a regular day, we will only mention, and now we will have an adventure of speaking about it, wearing special costumes, and having maybe even a play, speaking about Exodus, speaking about going out of Egypt. And there are many answers to your nice questions.
Telling the story, it's a very powerful way of not only remembering, as you say, but reliving and re-feeling what happened in our history. All right. So we tell this story during this special meal, which has a special order and process called, of course, the Seder. And we've all noticed that during the Seder, questions are a very important part of the conversation and the storytelling. We actually provoke questions and stimulate questions as part of the Seder, questions and more questions. Why do we do that? Why is that a technique? Why do we have so much emphasis on questions during the Seder?
That's a great question, by the way. If we're speaking about questions, it's a great question. The answer is that if we noticed, we have four cups of wine we will drink during the Seder, during the Kadesh, during the Magid, telling the story. The third is when we will bench Birkat HaMazon. And the fourth will be in Hallel, when we praise God during the Seder. The Mishnah will ask, Mazgulo Kol Sheni, when they will pour the second cup, the Mishnah states, Bechan HaBen Shoel Aviv, here is the time when the son should ask a question. Obviously, the listeners will say that he will recite the Manishtana. Everyone knows by heart the Manishtana, but it's incorrect. The Mishnah says, Mazgulo Kol Sheni, they will pour the second cup, and here the son will ask, then Endat Babed, if the son is not so small, or I would say, I would translate, if he's unaware for the changes that we've made, then his father will teach him, Manishtana Laila Zemikol HaLelot. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Everyone thinks that the highlight of Leil HaSeder is the Manishtana, reciting the Manishtana, but it's incorrect. Reciting the Manishtana, I would say, should be recited by the father or the grandfather because his son did not ask the questions. I'm going to tell you a real story, a personal story. About 30 years ago, one of my children, he's now 35 years old, asked me just after he poured the second cup, Father, Daddy, why aren't we eating the meal right now? So I said to my family, we are exempted of reciting the Manishtana. Because if a question was provoked by the son, if he raised a question, we do not need the Manishtana. Don't worry, we will recite the Manishtana. We all love it. We all like to see our grandchildren reciting the Manishtana. But the truth is that the idea is to ask questions. And I would like to emphasize this idea. I'm a teacher, an educator, and I know in my class, when a student asks a question, a great question, not a question like, when is the class over? I'm talking about a real question. I mean, something really matters to him. I will always wait a few seconds, and then I will say, it is a great question. And I will not answer the question immediately. Why is that so? Because when we will raise question, the idea will be explained in a better way. Because when you ask a question, you think about it. You let the question be in the air, and it will you feel troubled by the fact that you don't know the answer. But if a teacher asks a question and the student asks a question and the teacher immediately answers, it's not good. It's incorrect. The idea is, first of all, to have the question. And it's very important. Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Zion mentioned, "Hatovar shebamido sheyeh adam shoeg." The best thing that a person can do is to ask questions. Obviously, he will wait for answers. But the idea is, first of all, to ask questions, to be aware, to see that something is different. The Rambam, Maimonides, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimonides, who lived in the 13th century, mentioned in the Halakha that you should do many changes. You should put things in a different way. You need to feel that it's a different night. And then the child will ask questions. When the child will ask questions, we will be able to tell him the story, but not because not everyone is interested in hearing the story. But if we will provoke questions, if he will raise nice questions, and we will emphasize that it is a great question, that's very important. And that is the idea of raising questions in our tradition, especially at the time of the Seder. So it's not only Manishtana, we will have many changes. We will change, I would say, the atmosphere. We will change the way of sitting down. Even the way that we drink the wine, it's called Hasava. Many things that we have on the table will cause that the child will ask questions, and then we will be able to tell the story in our way.
So it's a very powerful and effective learning technique to let the question hang in the air a bit, as you said, and just the act of asking questions is a way to provoke reflection, and then the discussion, including the answer, is reinforced, and it sinks in, is the way I would put it after hearing your very, very interesting commentary just now. And I have to say, I'll never look at the Manishtana the same way again. Now that we've had this conversation, my perspective has changed. My goodness. Well, there's another highlight of the Seder involving the kids or the grandkids, and it's all about the Afikoman. And I'd like to ask you, what is the meaning of the Afikoman custom? I mean, you know, there's three matzot that are hidden. We reach inside, we break half of the matzah that's in the middle, not the top, not the bottom, the middle. Then we hide it. And then we pay our kids if they discover and return it. What is this all about? I mean, at Hanukkah, we don't hide latkes. At Purim, we don't hide hamantaschen. We're too busy eating them. So what is up with this Afikoman custom?
Thank you for your question. Again, I'm going back to Maimonides. The Rambam, Maimonides, in his Halacha, in the seventh chapter of Hilchot Chametz Matzah, mentions that during the Passover night, we should tell the story. By the way, again, and I would like to emphasize moreover, that even if a person is by himself, he should ask questions before he talks about the story. You should ask questions, and even if he's by himself. And the Rambam states that tzarich la'asot shinui, and then he says, ketzad mishaneh, how does he make changes? He gives his children klayot enegozin nas. They will drive him nuts. and he will give them nuts, and he will give them some goodies. And then it says, "Ve'okrim ha'shulchan min nifleim," we will remove the table from them. And then he says, "Ve'chotfin matzah zem yad zeh," we will grab the matzah from one hand to another. That is stated in the Rambam. I'm talking about the 13th century. So it's a very, very old custom of, I would say, stealing or grabbing the matzah from each other, and it will arouse, it will provoke questions, as we said before. But the idea of eating the afikoman in the days of the temple, the afikoman was not a matzah. The afikoman was eating the korban after we sacrificed the circumcision of the Pesach, Passover. Then we ate the meat. We would eat what we sacrificed. After the destruction of the second temple, we will eat the matzah as zecher. We will remember the idea of eating the korban Pesach. Afikoman is the last halacha of Pesach. If we all remember, we have four kids that are mentioned in the Agadah of Pesach. We have the Chacham, the clever. We have the Rasha, the evil person. We have the Tam, the naive. And we have the Zeshe Melo Darishol, the son who does not know how to ask questions. The Agadah was built for the children who do not know how to ask questions, and we will help them to ask questions. And going back to the Afikoman, the idea of Afikoman mainly was to eat the korban, to eat what we sacrificed. When we're speaking about the Chacham, the Agadah mentions, ata emor lo en maftirim achar ha-pesach afikoman. We're not allowed to eat anything else. By the way, during Leila Seder, we should eat the dessert before the matzah. We should eat the dessert before the matzah. Because nothing, we should end the Seder by having the taste of the matzah. Anyways, the idea of grabbing or stealing or promising the children some presents if they will give back the matzah, the idea is very simple. To let them be awake during, to make them stay, I would say, awake during the Seder. You know, it's very late, it's the evening, and some children aren't able to sit down all the time. We should be aware. We should be all educators, great educators, and to know when which should we speak and when should we hurry up. When should we speak about very important things? And when we should do some other things. The idea is to make them still to make sure that they are awake, because they are the people that the Seder is for them. The Seder is not for us. We know the story. In fact, we should tell the story to ourselves too. But I will say that the next generation and the great children, and hopefully the great grandchildren, we should know the story from us, and therefore hiding or stealing, that's the idea of Leila of Afikoman.
Well, I have to say that it's not only the children who may have trouble staying awake till the end. It could also be the Saba who has trouble staying awake right until the end or sitting still for all that long. But, you know, I never connected the Afikoman with the temple sacrifice. I did not know about that. I've learned something again from you. This idea of starting with dessert and leaving the matzah until the end, I don't know. We've never tried that. I think if we gave the kids dessert at the beginning, they would be gone, just gone. And so I'm not sure we're going to try that part this year. But who knows? We'll see. That is really just fascinating. You've really educated us here on a number of aspects that are certainly new to me, and it makes the Seder and the storytelling all the more meaningful. You've helped us tremendously prepare and get ready for the Seder, for Passover, which is just a wonderful holiday. We thank you so much for the discussion, the conversation today. We've really enjoyed it. And you know, we'd love to welcome you back to Ottawa. When are you going to come to visit us here?
I don't know, but maybe we'll start with another Zoom, maybe. We'll see. We'll speak.
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds great. Rabbi Dr. David Kalir, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It's been a delight speaking with you. And all of us here in Ottawa and in Canada, we wish you Chag Pesach Sameach.
Thank you very much. So for you.
Thank you. All right. Well, that was a fascinating discussion with the professor from Tel Chai College, now a university. We're going to stay in Israel for our conversation with our next guest. It's our friend Avi, who lives in a town called Re'ut. It's right near Modi'in. Many of you will have heard of Modi'in. Avi, shalom. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hi, shalom. Thank you very much. I'm fine. I'm actually, you've interrupted the cleaning sessions. We've started early this year.
So you started the cleaning for Passover already.
Yeah. So we are beginning with the kitchen and everything.
That's such a fun job. We won't keep you too long. I'm sure you can't wait to get back to it. But when you clean, you collect the chametz, you sell the chametz. Tell me, we have inflation here in Ottawa. Well, what's the price? What's the going rate for chametz in Israel these days?
I have no idea, but my wife's dad, he sells the chametz for the family. Apparently, it's all sold to one guy in Abu Ghosh, a Muslim Arab, who buys it for a week, and then we get it back after that.
Okay. I won't ask if there are any commissions involved, I won't ask about black market, official market. Okay, you've got a process in place for the chametz. That's great. You know, most of us here in Ottawa have not had the pleasure of being in Israel during Pesach. What I hear is that it's a really great time, a really great holiday, that it's busy, it's active. So look, is this true or is this fake news? Tell us about the vibe during Pesach in Israel. What's it like?
I think Pesach is probably the most family orientated and the most fun and exciting time in Israel. The weather is lovely. Everything is green. It's not hot yet. So everyone takes time to travel. So we travel to the north or the south. And you see, you know, the whole country on the move. It's very family orientated. So people get together. You know, we usually do it like one year with this side of the family and then next year the other side of the family. And somehow the whole country is synchronized. I don't know how they do it, but I don't know how the math works, but it somehow works. And so this year we're invited to my brother-in-law. And so it's quite a big session there. And of course, it's a Motzei Shabbat, which is unique. It's not always like that. So we have first the Shishi Shabbat, and then we have the Seder. So at least you don't reach the Seder completely exhausted from the whole commotion. You have the whole Shabbat to rest, and then you have the Seder. And I think the last time that happened was like 19 years ago or 20 years ago. So it will be an experience, and it's long.
You're obviously looking forward to that. That's a very good planning for this year. The calendar has come around again, that it starts after you've rested on Shabbat. So where does your brother-in-law live? What part of Israel?
So he lives in Modi'in.
Okay.
It's like a 15-minute walk from me. So I'm lucky. I have most of my family living around in Modi'in. My mother, my sister, my brother-in-law, her parents, her uncle and aunt. So we're kind of a big gang that has moved into Modi'in in the last 20 years or so. And so we walk, you know, we walk to one another, and it's really nice that we're all together and we don't have to travel.
Speaking of traveling, is it the case that the airport Ben Gurion gets busier as relatives and members of the Jewish diaspora who live elsewhere, are they arriving at the airport to join their families and friends in Israel at this time?
So Israel is flooded during Passover with many, many Jews and tourists coming for the Passover, the Easter. I think this year will be less so because of the situation. We were hoping that things would calm down, but it doesn't seem like it's calming down. And we had an alert like 3-4 hours ago. And, you know, it's nearly a daily occurrence where a Yemenite missile, ballistic missile, is fired and is intercepted above our heads. And you have this commotion of running to the safe house. And so I don't think it will be as busy and festive as it usually is.
Okay. So going back to your Seder and how lovely that you can walk from place to place, how many people will you be around the Seder table at your brother-in-law's in Modi'in?
My guess will be about 30 or 40 people.
Wow.
Yeah, so his extended family, our family, and the other brother who's coming from Chemdat, which is a place in the northern near Beit She'an, and friends, I think, will also be joining him. So we'll be a big group. Usually is very loud and very festive, and, you know, all the young
kids. Yes.
Our kids are like in their teens and army. So it's a big group and a very kind of loud group.
Well, those of us who have had the great fortune to visit Israel once, twice, many times, we absolutely believe you when you say it's going to be a loud group. We have no doubt that this is the absolute truth. So with this kind of crowd and the, you know, the talking and the Haggadah, how long will your Seder go on? How long does it typically last?
I think it lasts up to about 12 o'clock at night. So one side of my family is religious, the side of my wife, and my side is less religious. So when we are having it at my wife's side of the family, you know, we start reading, and then we have the Seder dinner, and then we complete the reading, and there are Torah sessions and, you know, sermons or discussions. And so I think it ends at about 12 o'clock at night, plus minus. And then everyone walks home, and usually Modi'in is very, you know, lots of people walking around up to, you know, 1-2 o'clock at night. People are walking, and it's very safe and very busy.
You, of course, have one Seder, and that you're very envious of us in Ottawa and throughout North America, because we don't stop at one. We do it twice. So You can be honest with us. We're all nice people here. Are you really that envious of us in Ottawa, North America, because we do this twice?
No, well, not at all. I don't know how you survived this for so many years, but I think you must be completely decimated on the second set. I don't know how you survived it. Why you keep on this tradition? Yeah, it's. I suppose you don't have the issues of, you know, which side of the family is entitled to hold the Seder and that, because you have two opportunities.
And this must be exactly why we carry on this tradition. There is no need for it. It stems from hundreds of years ago when the date and time in Israel couldn't perhaps be known with certainty. In the diaspora here in Ottawa and North America. But we keep it going because it helps us sync the families. But you know what? Absolutely. after the second Seder. I am certainly very done with that procedure. You know, in closing, Avi, tell us what you love most about Pesach, or what is your favorite memory of Pesach? Speak to us about this.
I think Pesach is, you know, is the time where you take out the Pesach kitchen out of the cupboards, and it's all wrapped up in last year's newspapers. And so as you unwrap all your cutlery and all your, you know, your chalavi and basari kitchens, you look at last year's papers and you say, "What? God, can you believe it? So much has changed." And so every year we have this the ceremony where we take the stuff out and, you know, you look at the scraps of paper or newspapers and you marvel at how many things, you know, happened, especially in Israel, where everything is so condensed and so many things happen, and what a different situation it was last year. We have this commotion every year, and it's always interesting to kind of reflect and see how things have changed. And they have. I think this year is one of those very dramatic years in Israel.
I'm sure that does cause a commotion and head shaking. Avi, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Oh, we don't want to keep you from the rest of your cleaning and the sale of the chametz. So we thank you so, so much. This was wonderful. And we all in Ottawa wish you and your family and everyone in Israel Chag Pesach Sameach.
Thank you. Chag Sameach to all of you. And hope to see you very soon in Israel again.
For sure. I look forward to it. Great. Well, now we're going to return to Ottawa. And it's really a pleasure to speak today with Ariel Ben-Gal. Ariel is the head of PJ Library for Ottawa. Who doesn't love PJ Library? Ariel, welcome to Shalom Ottawa. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy when you reached out, and I'm very excited to be sharing all about PJ Library Ottawa with you. And thanks for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely. So how long has PJ Library been in Ottawa? When did it come to Ottawa?
So PJ Library has been in Ottawa now since May 2011. Mm. So it's been here for a bit. And yeah, we're going on I'm going to embarrass myself now with math, but it's been here for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit. I'd say that's over a dozen years for sure. Yeah. How many kids, parents, grandparents do you reach in Ottawa?
Oh, well, right now we actually have about almost 800 subscribers in the greater capital region now. We have about 800 subscribers. So we're reaching out to 800 different Jewish families in Ottawa, and we're growing every day, and we're hoping to reach more and more Jewish families or people raising Jewish kids.
But, you know, I'm a subscriber. I've passed the childhood stage, but I'm on the list as a grandparent. So how do the grandparents fit in to this?
So PJ Library actually has a very wonderful program for grandparents and their grandchildren in order to create long-lasting memories. And you, as a grandparent, you're able to sign up for PJ Library to have your grandchild receive books on your behalf. So it's a very wonderful thing on the PJ Library website. There's lots of interactive activities that you can do with your grandchild. And, you know, Ottawa hasn't had it yet, but I'm hoping within this next coming year to start running programming for grandchildren and their grandparents to create long-lasting memories and experiences for them. So that's something that we're very excited about to bring to Ottawa. It is a program that PJ Library all over the world, like, they're doing it in other cities, and it's something I want to bring here. And I think that lots of grandparents will definitely value having that experience. So I'm happy to hear that you're signed up and that you have your grandchildren signed up as well. So I hope to see you maybe at some of our events coming up.
Save me a space. Definitely. If you have a grandparent and grandchild program, count me in. You might get stampeded by the number of grandparents who want to come with their grandchildren. That sounds like a wonderful idea. And we certainly hope that you succeed in bringing that part of PJ Library to us here in Ottawa. Let's talk a bit about Passover, which is what this episode is all about. Passover's coming. Major holiday, major family experience. Tell us a little about what PJ Library is doing for Passover.
So this year for Passover, on Sunday, April 6th, we are partnering with OJCS, the Ottawa Jewish Community School, to have a wonderful afternoon of Passover crafts and fun activities. We're going to be doing, you know, we're going to be making matzah covers, and we're going to be making matzah houses out of like a bunch of, it's going to be an edible matzah house. It's going to be lots of fun, lots of excitement. We're going to have music, and that's going to be at that school. So we're just looking to have a family friendly afternoon, have lots of people come out and sing songs and get together. That's going to be our PJ Passover. And then, other than that, April is a pretty relaxed month for us. But yeah, that's our big family event that's going to be happening just before Passover on April 6th.
On April 6th. Well, that sounds like a fun event. So we'll watch for that. Now, it seems to me I've also seen Haggadot supplied or published by PJ Library. I'm sure I've seen that around my Seder table in the last couple of years. Am I confusing this with someone else? Or is there PJ Library Haggadah?
No, you're definitely not imagining it. We do have a Haggadah that has been shipped out to families over the last couple of years. So this is an interactive family guide. It's very easy to follow. It's something that you can now find virtually online. I'll be sharing that along all of my platforms. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram. I also have a PJ Library newsletter that I'll be sending out at the beginning of next week. So if you're subscribed to our newsletter, you'll be receiving that. And I will be posting the PDF interactive online version of this PJ Library Haggadah. And if you guys have a physical copy that you've received in the last couple of years, it's filled with crafts. It's filled with explanations on why we do certain things, why do we eat certain foods, the order of everything, all the songs are there. And it's just a very family-friendly, easy explanation. It makes the very long Passover Seder very fun and engaging, and it passes the time quickly. The kids love it. I use it personally with my family as well. And we just have lots of fun with Passover. Honestly, Passover is one of my favorite holidays. It has been since I was a kid. It was a time where, you know, all of my cousins and family used to get together like once a year. There's like 17 of us, and we used to have a massive Passover Seder. So now being able to share that with my kids and, using the PJ Library guide, it makes it even more fun and more exciting for us. So I'm happy to hear that you know about it, and I'll be sharing that with everyone shortly.
Well, it's probably my favorite holiday as well. Although by the end, you know, I'm ready to change things up from matzah. I have to be honest, full disclosure, but I do love the holiday. And the Haggadah that we're talking about, which you say is now available virtually and interactive, We really enjoyed it. We had multiple copies. We were able to kind of share and all follow from the same, educational fun Haggadah, which the younger kids really enjoyed, really resonated with them. The only downside that I found is that it took away our longstanding family tradition of multiple editions and versions of the Haggadah across the table, with everyone saying, well, what page are you on? Well, we're on 17. Well, no, mine doesn't show that. Mine is on page 15. So we've lost a bit of that flavor, but that's okay. I think we've gained just a wonderful family tool, very, very family friendly, as you said. So we love it. Yeah. We love it. Okay, that's terrific. If people want to get more information about PJ Library, you know, for those parents whose kids are not yet signed up, for grandparents who want to sign up, what's the best way for people to get more information and get on your list, Ariel?
Again, you guys can find me on Facebook and Instagram. My name on there is very simple. It's PJ Library Ottawa. You can find me on either of those social medias and feel free to, you know, private message me at any point. You guys can email me at eben, so it's eben hyphen gal at jewishottawa.com. Feel free to email me at any time. I'm very open to having a conversation with someone, very open to meeting up for coffee. I'm like an open book, and I just want to be that point of communication for all of our Jewish Ottawa families. So if you guys ever have any questions, want to learn more about PJ Library, you want to sign up, you want to add another member to our community, whatever it might be, just feel free to reach out to me at any time. And I just want to say another thing about PJ Library quickly is that we are a very open and welcoming community. No matter how you express or identify as a Jew, as a Jewish person, it is a very welcoming and open space. And whether you have one person that is Jewish in your family, or, you know, whatever structure, whatever your family looks like, we are the program for you in Ottawa. We try to make everything as accessible and welcoming as possible and inclusive for everybody. So yeah, reach out to me on any of those platforms. I'm available anytime.
That's terrific. It's a big tent, and it is a terrific program. I've enjoyed it for years, I have to say. When our grandkids first started getting stuff, that gave us books and booklets to read with them. And then, of course, when they added the grandparents segment, we were all over that. It is a terrific program. If anyone is listening who hasn't already signed up with PJ Library in one way, shape, or form, jump on board. It's totally worth it. It's one of the best things going. And Ariel is just clearly a wonderful coordinator. So with that, Ariel, we're going to let you get on with your Passover preparations with your family. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've really enjoyed the conversation, and we wish you and yours Chag Pesach Sameach.
Thank you very much. Chag Pesach Sameach to you and to all of our Ottawa families listening. It was so nice to get my voice out there. Thank you so much, Les, for doing this. And just one more thing to reiterate about PJ Library. Maybe for families who are not signed up yet, just the fact that it is free Jewish books. So if you're hesitant or you don't really know about our program, just a reminder that it is free Jewish books for Jewish kids by Jewish authors. Just thought I'd shout that out there one more time. But anyways, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, and you make a good point. Free is important, and especially with the cost of living today, free is affordable. So there you go, everyone. How can you resist? Thank you so much again. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
So how is that for you? Did you enjoy today's show? Drop us a line and tell us. Don't hold back on your feelings. It's not healthy. While you're at it, share your ideas for future guests and topics to keep the Ottawa and Israel stories flowing. And since you're a sharing person, let your friends know about Shalom Ottawa. Don't let them miss out. Of course, be sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. That way, you'll be the first to know when our next episode drops. Until the next time, Lehitraot and Shalom Ottawa.